It makes no difference whether the telephone is used by a good citizen or by a criminal, both are subject to the same laws of telephone communication. In order that you may understand the things you will witness in the domain of spirit communication, it is important that you learn the most important laws involved in communication between the spirit world and material creation. When you have grasped these, you will be able to understand most of what you will encounter in this field, things that so far seem so inexplicable to you mortals. The law of odic force, life force. Because of their different natures, spirit and matter cannot act upon each other directly. Not even your own spirit is capable by itself of activating a limb or organ of your body. Not even I, who have taken possession of the body of this boy, can make his body sit up or raise his hands or produce a sound with his organs of speech by my own efforts alone. In order to do these things, your own spirit and I as well require a power current. In the same way, the operator of a machine requires a constant supply of power furnished by steam or electricity if his machine is to function. If that supply is lacking or is inadequate, the machine will stand still. In our case, the spirit is the machinist. The machine is the body or matter. If the matter is to be set in motion by the spirit, a power current is necessary. The learned men of old called this power current in human beings the soul, as distinguished from spirit and body. Thus they taught, quite correctly, that man is made up of spirit, soul and body. The Bible calls the power current or vital energy the breath of life. Apostrophe. And God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, thus man became a living being. Genesis 2, 7. Scientists of today call the power current in man the odic force. This odic or life force exists in and around all things created by God. Every human being, every animal, every plant, every stone, every mineral, all water, every heavenly body, every spirit and all other existing things possess odic force. It is nothing material, but is spiritual and always associated with a spirit. It is the life force of the spirit, which is therefore always its conveyor. Hence, wherever there is life, there is odd, and wherever there is odd, there is spirit. Since this odic force exists in and around all things created by God and is always associated with spirit, it follows that there is a spirit in everything created. That sounds incredible to you, yet it is the truth. Any spirit associated with a material body possesses, first of all, the odic force required for its own existence as a spirit, and next, sufficient additional odic force to induce life, growth and activity in the earthly body. Similarly, to make use of an inadequate earthly parable, a locomotive requires a certain amount of steam power to put itself in motion, and a certain amount of additional steam to enable it to pull the cars that are coupled onto it. The car coupled onto your spirit is your body, for which your spirit requires special additional odic power. However, the odd set aside for the body differs from that set aside for the spirit, since anything that is to act upon matter must be assimilated and adapted to it to some extent. Hence the odd of earthly bodies is less spiritual than that of the spirits inhabiting them. The physical odd resembles your terrestrial power currents, which are neither purely material nor purely spiritual. Their true nature is unknown to you, although you experience their effect on a daily basis. For your terrestrial power currents you employ material conductors, designed to carry a current of the strength best suited to your needs. You have machines and equipment of all kinds, and plants whose operation requires current of a certain strength. If the current is too powerful, it will destroy your equipment. If it is too feeble, the equipment will stop running. In like manner, the odic current of all physical beings is carried by a conductor throughout the body with all of its wonderful units, which you call organs, in the required strength. If the current exerts too powerful an effect on a given organ, it will create disorder. If it is too feeble, the functions of the organ will cease. The blood is the conductor of the odic force. If the conductor is destroyed by loss or decomposition of the blood, the odic current also ceases. Just as your power currents cease to flow when your conducting wires are damaged by outside agencies or by corrosion. Because blood is a conductor for the odd, and hence physical life is impossible without blood, The Bible calls blood the seat of life. Blood is the seat of life. Deuteronomy 12, 23. The physical odd is not created by the spirit of the respective body, but is derived from the food taken into that body. In order that you may understand what I shall have to say further about odic energy, I must explain to you the nature of matter. Have you ever tried to understand how the bodies of living organisms are formed? Consider your own body and its growth. Was it, by any chance, built up by adding on finished substance, as a house is built by placing one stone upon another? You know for yourself that your body was not built up in this way. The body is nothing but odd condensed into matter, and this is true of all bodies, not only those of human beings, but also those of animals, plants and minerals. Their growth and their taking material form are subject to those self-same laws of odic condensation. The odd of individual material organisms comprises a mixture of odd of the most varied strength and kinds, produced by wonderful laws unknown to you mortals. The mixture is different in human beings than in animals, different in animals than in plants, and different in plants than in minerals. This difference in odd mixture obtains not only between the primary stages of nature, but also between individual organisms within the same stage. Thus the odic composition of the various human races differs. That of the Negro is not the same as that of the white man or of the Indian. Furthermore, not all members of the white race have the same odic composition. This is true also for all the other races of mankind. Every individual has his own odic composition. There are, therefore, no two human beings with exactly the same odd, and the same applies to animals, plants and minerals. Since, therefore, the physical structure of a living organism results from the condensation of the odic mixture peculiar to that organism, each body has its own individual physical properties. In every living being, flesh, bones, nails, hair, and all other parts of the body have their distinctive characteristics, which are based on the odic composition of the individual in question. In your human eyes, it is one of nature's deep secrets how odd, which exists in an ethereal form and is invisible to you, can be condensed into tangible matter. That it is possible you know from your own daily experience, for you can see that your body does not grow by the direct application to it of finished matter. You know that the acorn does not grow into an oak by having more and more bits of oak wood attached to it, but that its growth represents a process taking place within the organism. You know, furthermore, that the food you eat does not attach itself to the inner surfaces of your body and promote growth in that way, but that an unknown something flows into all parts, great and small, of your entire body, condensing into flesh, bone, nails, hair and other tissue, and by thus condensing becomes matter. That something, which is unknown to you, is odd. Where, you may ask, does this odd, which is so necessary for the formation and support of all living beings, come from? You can find the answer yourself. If you stop to think about what the needs of your physical existence are, you require air, water and food. But not everything present in the air, water or food can be utilized by the body. Above all, it cannot be assimilated by the various parts of your body in the form in which it occurs in the air, water or food, that is to say, not in its material form. Even air is matter. Everything must first be converted into an ethereal form, and conducted in the form of odd to all parts of the body, great and small. The conversion of the material nutrients into odd proceeds by way of the dissolving that takes place in your bodies during the process of digestion. The air you breathe comprises a material mixture of odd, from which your lungs extract only those parts of the odd that your bodies require, exhaling those they cannot use, in the process of breathing. Water also has an odic composition of its own. The odd of water is needed most of all by the bodies of human beings, animals and plants, for these bodies are for the most part a condensation of the odd taken from water. Therefore, water odd predominates in the foods derived from the plant and animal kingdoms, so that when you eat this food, you generally also receive the necessary quantity of water odd. because the odd of water plays so important a role in all bodies, they cannot go without it for any great length of time. Your professional fasters may be able to do without solid food for weeks on end, but if they were deprived of water, they would soon die. For the same reason, animals and plants perish when denied the odd of water for a prolonged period. Now you also understand why the torture of thirst is the greatest torture that any living being can experience. It constitutes death in its most painful form. The odd of the air is needed not so much for building up the structure of the body, but mainly for producing the various power currents that carry out the dissolving of food and its conversion into odd, the mixing of the various kinds of odd, and finally their ultimate condensation into bodily matter. All dissolving is caused by hot oddic currents and all condensation by cold ones. For this reason you cannot live more than a few moments without the odd of the air, for where this is absent, all other oddic activity ceases automatically. Now we still need the answer to the question, where does the odd found in air, water and food come from? It comes from the earth, which as a heavenly body possesses an oddic mixture and an oddic radiation that contain every kind of odd required for the support of all living beings on it. The terrestrial odd consists of the odd peculiar to the earth as a heavenly body. In addition, the earth absorbs into its own oddic mixture the oddic radiation of all the heavenly bodies within range of the earth. Each of these heavenly bodies has a specific odd peculiar to itself, of a nature and composition not found in any other heavenly body. According to the position of those heavenly bodies with respect to the earth, their odic radiation will have a greater or lesser effect upon it, and since the position of the heavenly bodies relative to each other changes every second, the odic radiations sent to the earth by those bodies will vary accordingly. The blending of the odd of your earth with that of the heavenly bodies around it is of the greatest importance to life and growth upon the earth. You must also remember that every kind of odd possesses powers peculiar to itself. To the extent, then, that the bodily odd of an infant at the moment of its birth stands under the one-sidedly strong influence of the odd of one or more heavenly bodies, to that extent the infant's own oddic composition will be affected. At the time of birth, this composition is, as it were, still fairly neutral, but at that instant it is given a fixed permanent trend by the oddic radiations and mixtures acting upon it. If, in producing a mixture in a glass, you pour in a large amount of one substance, that reduces the amounts you can add of other substances. The whole mixture will then be characterized by that substance of which you added a large amount, in color, smell, taste and other external features. You cannot later reduce the amount of the substance of which you added too much, nor can you dilute it by adding larger amounts of other substances, for the glass cannot be filled beyond its capacity. The same is true of the odd mixture of a newborn infant. The total amount of odd is predetermined and cannot be increased. If, now, a particular type of odd constitutes the major component of the whole, it will determine the infant's growth and development for all time. Since the different odd types each develop completely individual vital energies, the particular nature of the major component of the odd will give to the newborn infant, in addition to its individual physical characteristics, an individual set of character traits. It is, therefore, neither superstition nor idle fancy to assume that one can draw conclusions about a person's physical nature and character from the moment of his birth. The influence of the odd of the heavenly bodies upon your life on earth, upon your vital energies, your character and your temperament is much greater than you realize. You yourselves have a saying, "He was born under a lucky, or an unlucky, star." This refers to the effect exerted by the odd radiation of a heavenly body on living beings at the moment of their birth. 66. All this is so closely related to the great questions of the destiny of human beings that I could not entirely refrain from speaking of it. All bodies of terrestrial beings are therefore condensed odd, derived from the odd radiation of the earth and that of its surrounding heavenly bodies. An example taken from nature will illustrate to you this process of dissolution and condensation. You know that moisture from the ground and from bodies of water evaporates under the influence of heat, although this is generally imperceptible to your eyes. At a certain height above the earth, the vapor, which was invisible at lower levels, condenses into a thin, barely perceptible veil of mist. As condensation progresses, this veil becomes distinctly visible as a cloud, which grows denser and denser under the influence of cold, until, after condensing even more, it falls to the ground as rain or snow. If the water is chilled still further, it condenses into ice and becomes a solid. Here you have the condensation, step by step, of an ethereal substance invisible to your eyes into solid matter, which you cannot only see and touch, but which also exhibits considerable resistance. Thus the sheet of ice that covers your streams, ponds and rivers is solidified water, of the same composition and distinctive properties as the water from which it is formed and which in turn is condensed vapor. Thus, just as vapor rises from the earth and step by step turns into solid matter as ice, only to dissolve again into water and back into vapor, so it is with all terrestrial bodies. They are derived from the odd of the earth, invisible to you, which is condensed into matter by the process of growth and which returns to the odd of the earth after the death of the living organism. The words of earth thou art, to earth shalt thou return therefore apply to all terrestrial beings. This is the continual cycle that will endure until all matter is finally dissolved into odd and not recondensed into material bodies. Later I will have more to tell you about this. From what I have said you can deduce that in every terrestrial being there are three forms of odd, the odd of the spirit embodied in this being, the somewhat more condensed odd that is still invisible to the human eye and that is the body's life force, and the odd that has become solid matter, which you call the body. The odd representing the life force of the body always remains connected with the odd of the spirit and hence with the spirit itself. It is the bodily fuel under the control of the spirit, just as your terrestrial power current is the fuel at the engineer's command. If, therefore, the fuel for the body is diminished below the point required to maintain life, the spirit departs from the body and corporeal death ensues. Similarly, the machinist abandons his machine when he can no longer keep it running for lack of power. When terrestrial bodies die, the odic force remains with the spirit, for earthly bodies possess no independent odic force of their own, only the spirits that have taken possession of the bodies have such force. Nevertheless, the spirit can with its own odic force through the exercise of its willpower strengthen the odd of its body, which may have become weakened by sickness. It can stimulate the activity of sluggish bodily organs and thereby eliminate injurious matter from the system. In these circumstances it is of course essential that the weakened body avoid eating harmful foods, and that it promote the effect of the spirit odd by means of a wholesome diet. To use another concrete metaphor, the spirit in this case works by its own odic energy like a powerful pressure pump upon the physical odd and on the conductor of the odic current, namely, the blood. How much strength the spirit of a person can infuse into the physical odd of its body through its own odic force by exercising its willpower can be seen through numerous occurrences. Often paralyzed persons threatened with great danger receive such strengthening of their bodily odic force through the willpower of the spirit, which is focused on saving the individual, that their paralysis is gone and the use of their limbs is restored to them, at least temporarily. The same effect is produced by a patient's heightened hope for healing. This is also an act of will, and, through the strength it imparts to the odic force of the body, it leads to many sudden recoveries, which you regard as miracles. Willpower expressed in courage, hope, faith and cheerfulness is therefore the best remedy and, incidentally, the best safeguard against contagious diseases. The odd of the body, reinforced by willpower, forms as it were a protective wall that prevents the entry of noxious germs. The greater the willpower, the stronger this invisible armor. A spirit's lack of willpower, despondency, fear and timidity have the opposite effect. They act like a suction pump that draws the physical odd, together with the blood, inward out of the body and its organs, thus weakening the system and paving the way for infection. Just as the spirit is able to lend strength to its body's physical odd when this has become weakened by sickness, so the odic force of healthy persons may be transmitted to, and invigorate, the sick. Odic transmissions of this sort are what you call magnetization. Odd can be transmitted by any living being to another, not only from human to human, but also from humans to animals, plants and minerals. By transmitting your own personal odd to plants, you can promote their growth. You can magnetize water, oil and similar substances, infusing them, as it were, with your odd, and thereby hasten the recovery of the sick who drink of that water or who are anointed with that oil. Man can also use the odd of plants, beasts and minerals for his own healing. It is upon this reciprocal transfer of odd that the laws of healing power within God's creation are based. Thus the skin of many living animals radiates a particular odd that has healing powers. The healing power of many plants is widely known, although unfortunately the people of today are not as familiar with the curative properties of specific plants for the various diseases as were the people of ancient times. The same is true of the minerals. Most people think it superstition to believe that every precious stone has an oddic power of its own, and yet it is precisely the odd of precious stones that possesses unusual purity and strength and invigorates the persons wearing them. It is, of course, essential for the wearer to select the stone that is best suited to his personal odd and one that does not contain oddic forces that conflict with the individual's own oddic radiations. You have books that will instruct you further as to which precious stone is best suited for which individual, depending on the wearer's date of birth. A very important factor in all healing is the transmission of odd from one person to another. A sick child soon feels better when its healthy mother snuggles it against her body, for by so doing she transmits her own healthy odd to the sick child and strengthens the latter's odd, which has become enfeebled by sickness. A healthy person who sleeps with sick or old people imparts a share of his oddic force to them. His sick or old bedfellows are invigorated thereby, while the healthy person grows steadily weaker by the continued expenditure of his odd. That is the reason why healthy persons who sleep with old or sick people for any great length of time take on a sickly appearance, which is a consequence of the weakening of their own oddic force. For this reason, children should not be allowed to sleep in the same bed with old folks. Odd flows through all parts of terrestrial bodies and radiates even a bit beyond them. This radiation that surrounds terrestrial bodies has been called aura by your scientists. Everything in creation has such an oddic aura, even the great heavenly bodies. What you call the gravity of the earth is its power of oddic radiation, whose range bears a specific relation to the size of the globe. This is also true of all other cosmic bodies. There is not a point anywhere in the universe that is unaffected by the oddic radiation of some heavenly body. The oddic aura surrounds the material body at an equal distance from every point. Consequently, the aura has the shape of the body to which it belongs and which it encompasses. For this reason one speaks of the oddic body, or the astral body, or the fluid body, of material beings, as distinguished from their material bodies. It is what the Bible calls the spiritual body. It is not visible to your corporeal eyes, but so-called clairvoyants endowed with the gift of spiritual sight can see these oddic radiations or oddic bodies. The spirit is the source of life, but the scope and the activity of your lives are determined by the oddic force connected with the spirit and hence called the life force. This force manifests itself in vibrations of the odd. Every expression of intellectual life, every expression of life about you in nature, all natural forces are oddic vibrations. All thought and all volition are expressed in the corresponding oddic vibrations, set in motion by the spirit, as the bearer of the odd. Every physical sensation, every mental emotion is caused by oddic vibrations. All tones, colors, odors, tastes and tactile sensations are produced by specific oddic vibrations. In the spiritual world these are vibrations of the pure ethereal odd. In material creation, they are vibrations of odd in its more or less condensed form. Everything that you see on earth, all growth, blossoming and ripening, all power currents and radiation, electricity, radio, ether waves, light, darkness, all the nuances of tone, color, odor, taste and touch, all power currents in the universe, the force of gravity exercised by the heavenly bodies and their motion in space, everything rests upon these oddic vibrations. A sage of ancient times observed, everything is in a state of flux. He should have said, everything is in a state of vibration. The great divine secret of numbers is based on the vibrations of the odic force flowing through the entire universe and permeating its tiniest particle. You little humans will never fathom this secret. You seek the unity number in world events, but you will not find it. It is true that you have discovered many facts connected with this secret of numbers. You know the number of vibrations that produce the notes familiar to you, and you are trying to discover the number of odic vibrations on which the colors are based, but what does all that represent in the vast ocean of truth inaccessible to you? You cannot break the seven seals of God's creation, you can only bow your heads in wonder and reverence before the Almighty's wisdom and omnipotence. From what little I have told you about odic vibrations, let us now draw a few conclusions that are important for our purposes. You will find that it stands to reason that harmony in odic vibrations stands for beauty, health, happiness, peace and good fortune, whereas disharmony in these vibrations must be the cause of ugliness, sickness, suffering and unhappiness. Just as disharmonious tones and colors offend your aesthetic sense and, as it were, actually cause you mental pain, so it is on the spiritual plane when a created spirit loses its harmony with its creator. The disharmony is reflected in corresponding vibrations of the spiritual odd. It produces spiritual ugliness, sickness, discontent and unhappiness, in short, spiritual suffering, which grows in the same measure as the spirit's disharmony with God increases. The extreme of disharmony, where the created spirit and its maker are total opposites, thus also means the greatest measure of spiritual anguish and misery. It is what you call hell. And since the greatest disharmony in odic vibrations also represents the greatest contrast to beauty and light, which presuppose the most perfect harmony, so hell must be a condition of the utmost ugliness of the odic body and of the most profound darkness. These conclusions are based on eternal laws. It is not God who throws you into hell, but your disharmony with everything good and beautiful, with everything that is spiritually wholesome and pure, with light and life. That is why hell is spiritual death, into which a person plunges whose spiritual nature is in greatest contrast with the divine nature. Disharmonious odic vibrations of the spirit are the diving rudder of spirit flight, whereas harmony is the elevating rudder. The most important task of every living being is to banish this disharmony out of its spiritual life. However, the odic vibrations of living beings are influenced not only by the thoughts and moods of their own spirits, but also by those of other beings whose odic vibrations they take in. If, therefore, clairsentient people come into close enough contact with the odic vibrations of others, they will take in their feelings also. This law is the basis for the ability to feel one's way into the sensations, character, way of thinking and fate of another person. All odic vibrations in a living being leave behind in their own odic bodies impressions similar to those made by the vibrations of the notes of a song on a phonograph record, allowing that song to be rendered audible again and again afterwards, and not simply as far as the notes are concerned, but with the same expression of feeling the singers gave to the song while singing it. This is also the basis of the power of memory. The deeper the impressions made on this odic plate, the more easily they can be recalled. The same process that takes place in material form in the case of a phonographic record goes on spiritually in the case of the sensations impressed on the consciousness of clairsentients as soon as they come into close enough contact with the spiritual odic record of another person. This contact produces in their own odd the same vibrations, and consequently the same sensations, as those present on the records of the other person. From what you have learned, you know that specific vibrations of odic force produce not only a specific tone, but also a specific color, smell, taste and tactile sensation. The sensations of cold and heat are likewise based on such odic vibrations. There are clairsentients who can see a tone as a color and who can even tell colors by the sense of touch, being able to detect differences in color from differences in the radiation of heat or cold given off by the various hues. Others can discern the emotions of love or hatred, of good or ill will, of courage or fear, of faithfulness or unfaithfulness in their fellow man not only through their own sensations, but in the corresponding colored pictures, and so are able to portray the concepts of love, faithfulness, sorrow, joy, hatred or envy in a colored picture. All this rests on the odic vibrations that accompany their sensations.